Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
Now tonight I want to talk to you about triumphant victory now. Because we can have it. Now, there are many problems in the assembly, and I want to address myself to this subject of victory in your life now. My text is in Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's pray. Father, as we briefly open your word tonight, I pray that by your Holy Spirit you might be in the midst of it to touch each one of our hearts, to touch our very spirits, Lord, that we might have a comprehension of this tremendous truth that victory is ours, whatever our difficulty, whatever our problem, and it is ours now. Help us, Father, for I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I rejoice at the very many cases of victorious living which are in the assembly. I'm well aware of many, many of them, and keep getting reports of other situations, people who take the word of God as it is preached and apply it in their own lives. And applying the word of God faithfully and with faith get results. It's from those people, of course, that the consciousness of the presence of Christ in our midst comes. It's from those people that we all get so much encouragement. And I want to say to you tonight, if you're somebody who's on the outside of that victory, not living in it, not partaking of it, not enjoying it, why not enter in even tonight and to begin to enjoy what is your inheritance? Now, God's standard for every one of us is victory. And I say it again, God's standard for every one of us is victory. He's provided victory over every satanic device, whether it's in the spiritual realm, the mental realm, or the physical realm. Christ has the victory. And if you are willing to act in faith, then you can begin to take hold of that victory even this night, if that's not been your experience to date. So many Christians live a sort of substandard Christian life. They have accepted Christ, they understand what he's done for them, but somehow or other they never seem to get past that mental understanding. Somehow or other that comprehension, that knowledge, never comes down into practical expression in their personal lives. That's the substandard Christian life. But I want to tell you tonight that you don't have to live that sort of life. For the old has been dealt with in your life. At the cross of Calvary, Christ dealt with the old. Word of God says in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. And the old, having been crucified, dead and buried and done away with, now we have newness of life to appropriate and to take upon ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And so we need to start appropriating, taking hold of the truth of Scripture. If the Word of God says that the old is past and finished and over, then we need to believe that. If the Word of God says that we are new creations, we need to believe it. If you don't believe what God says, you can never start walking in that truth and acting it out. And so you have a substandard Christian experience. For 6,000 years since Adam, Satan has been deceiving God's people. He is a master deceiver. That's what his main task is, to deceive. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. He deceived them, and he's still deceiving. And that's why there's so much failure, so much disappointment, for Satan deceives. He doesn't let that which is knowledge here come down into the heart and into the spirit, so that Christians begin to take hold of these truths and begin to act them out in their lives. God's standard is victory, but you have to act. You have to release faith and start walking in what the Word of God says is for you. Next, we could ask the question, when and where is this victory then? Many people accept there is victory in Christ, but they think it's up ahead somewhere, some distant time in history, somewhere way up in the years ahead, they are going to break through into this victory that they hear about. But the cross of Calvary gave you that victory. That victory is not something that's way up ahead. That victory of yours is not something you have to achieve, not something you have to work at to get. That victory is a past victory. That victory took place on a hill called Calvary and in the resurrection of the living Christ. And so we need to know that the Word of God actually tells us when and where this victory can be. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, and I wish to read that to you, don't turn it up, because I'm going to move through these scriptures quickly. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place." Always causes us to triumph in Christ now. Now thanks be unto God, and the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. When, now, and always. Where? In every place. So the Word of God tells us about the victory that's ours. That victory is always, and it is in every place. You can be in victory wherever and whenever you like to be. In every place, come what may. How great the temptation does not matter. No matter how acute the emergency, victory is yours now, in every place, whenever you wish to take it. Victory is God's present provision. I think they are wonderful words, that we are always triumphant in every place. Now, does the Word rarely teach this, or am I just picking out a special scripture and using one scripture? So let's look at another scripture. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 says, "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Still the same victory, but now we're told something else about it. Now we're told not only when and where, but how. We have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, let me read you one more scripture, 1 John 5 and verses 4 and 5. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. The same victory again, but here we have some more facts. Two more facts. We're told what the victory is. We're told the victory is our faith. Do you have faith? It's available to you. And we're told who can have it. Verse 5 says, those that believe in Christ. So if you believe in Christ, you have faith. You have faith, you can overcome this world, because the victory is already yours now, every time, every place, regardless of what the circumstance is. So the condition of victory is faith. You've got to believe. You've got to believe what? You've got to believe the glorious victory of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. You've got to believe that on that cross, he took every sickness and every disease and every sin that's ever been sinned, past, present, or future. The Word of God says so. He carried our sins and our sicknesses onto that cross. Every bondage, every lust, every work of the kingdom of darkness, Christ carried on the cross. We have to believe it. That's what you need to believe. That's what you've got to have faith in. And having that faith, then the victory is yours to begin to take hold of. Now, the Word of God is no magic wand. I know you've heard me say that so often. So we're holding no magic wand out to anybody. Sometimes the enemy opposes us as we begin to walk in that victory, as we begin to have faith, as we begin to appropriate these things, as we realize from the Word of God what Christ did, the incredible magnitude of the work he did on Calvary, and we begin to appropriate that for ourselves. Sometimes the enemy resists, and all sorts of circumstances come up against us, and we seem to find there are barriers and there are obstacles, and we can't seem to break through. And this is quite common. But because the enemy resists and tries to deceive us and tries to tell us that what we're trying to do is not viable, not possible, that's the time when we have to stand fast. That's the time when our faith is necessary. That's the time when we square our shoulders and say, the Word of God says it, I'm appropriating it, I'm taking hold of it, and I am not going to let go. So yes, sometimes there's a battle. Sometimes there's warfare. Sometimes there is a time factor involved as we move into these things of God. I want to read you Romans 8 and let you see how Paul handled faith in the midst of tremendous opposition. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 37 to the end. Nay, in all these things, in that famine and nakedness and peril and sword, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, I love that verse in 37. In all these things we are more than conquerors. Tremendous sentence. So here Paul takes up the glory of our victory. And under tremendous anointing, He defiantly challenges any set of circumstances that might come against a Christian. And he does it with such an anointing, I feel. He laughs at death. Why? Because death no longer has any power over him, nor over us. If we die now, what happens? We're with the Lord. Hallelujah. Death need not to cause any of us to have fear any longer. Paul laughs at death. He scorns principalities and powers. He claims that regardless of tribulation and persecution and distress, yet victory is still gloriously his. What a testimony this man has. But then he goes still further in verse 37. And he goes on to say that not only are we conquerors in all these things, but he says we are more than conquerors. I don't know if we can really grasp what the Word of God's trying to tell us there. I thought of David and Goliath. I thought when David finally slung his stone and that great giant fell, David had the victory, but then he rushed up, drew Goliath's sword and cut his head off. And I sort of felt maybe that's what it means to be more than a conqueror. Now that mightn't be too good an illustration, I don't know. But at least it's an illustration that God intends us to be more than conquerors. He wants to add to our conquering. Christ has won the victory. If we'll start applying that victory in our lives, we'll start doing something about the distresses you have, the persecutions, the pressures, the anxieties, the tragedies, the circumstances which press against you and cause tension and stress in your life. We all have these things. If you'll start moving into the promises of God, if you'll start moving into the victory that is yours and begin to be saturated with it, begin to put these things against the enemy and refuse to let him pull you down and get your attitudes wrong, get your thinking wrong, and get you depressed and oppressed and cast down. If we refuse those things and press into that victory which is there to be grasped, the Word of God says he'll make you more than the conqueror. You'll not only come through victorious, but you'll be like Job. Job received many, many more times the wealth that he had when disaster first struck him because of his faithfulness with God. So this is not a victory of fighting in your own strength until you are exhausted. This is the victory of the acceptance of another's victory, the victory of the living Christ, which he won for you on the hill of Calvary. This is a victory of praise, so assured, so final, that in the midst of the storms of life, all doubt is swept away, and we have confidence, and we can praise God in the midst of the storm, as Paul did, for the victory which we know is ours. To me, it's like the dawn flooding over the mountains and that light percolating down through the timber, through the trees, and driving darkness away as the sun begins to flood the earth. And that's the sort of victory that is ours, that even in the midst of darkness, we can keep our faith high. Whatever the persecution, the disappointment, the wound, the hurt, whatever it is, the failure, we all have those things. We stand fast and we say we are a son, we are a daughter of the living God, and victory is ours, abundant victory is ours now. We are more than conquerors, and we stand fast and we begin to praise God because we're his son, because we're his daughter. We begin to let faith rise within us. We begin to take hold of the promises of God, whether it's for healing, whether it's for deliverance, whether it's for material things. Whatever area it is, we begin to take hold of faith and the promises of God and begin to let them permeate and saturate our life so that doubt and uncertainty and fear and anger and whatever else the enemy is trying to put upon you slips away and is washed away because of your faith. Victory plus now. Victory plus. Victory plus. More than conquerors. You know, when the Lord Jesus fed the 5,000, do you remember he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And after he'd fed the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, which multiplied themselves, do you remember what they did? Gathered up 12 baskets full of remnants. More than a conqueror. The prodigal son. When he came home, he wasn't just forgiven, but his father rushed out to meet him and clothed him and killed the fatted lamb and had a great feast and put a ring on his finger. It was more than a conqueror when he got back home. Lazarus, when Christ brought him forth from the tomb, he just didn't leave him there as having risen from the dead, but he said, loose him of those grave clothes. Some of us need to loose ourselves of our grave clothes. We've been set free. We've been born again. We've been regenerated. The Spirit of God's now in our spirit. Those things are true. You know they're true. But there are grave clothes on us still. Some of us are still bound by circumstances, bound by habit patterns, bound by past circumstances, bound by wounds and hurts and resentments and bitternesses and all sorts of things. We need the grave clothes to be stripped from us. And Jesus has already stripped them from us. He's already given us the freedom. If only we'll do something about it. Ephesians 4 says to put off the old and to put on the new. If only we'd do it. If only we'd strip off the old and throw it away and put on the new. If I get my finger out my buttonhole, I can show you. And put on the new. If only we'd do that. What a transformation in so many of our lives. Hallelujah. Now unto Paul cried out, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Any power working in you? The Holy Spirit in you? The Holy Spirit's in you. There's power there. Exactly the same power as the Lord Jesus Christ had. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Do you believe it? Have you got faith for that? That Christ is able to work exceeding abundantly in your life, even above that which you desire. Tonight I want you to let your faith break loose. I want you to cast off your grave clothes. I want you to walk out of defeat and failure and uncertainty tonight. I want you to take hold of the things I've been talking about. You've been brought to life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And having been brought to life, now you can break those bondages off. You can strip yourself of the grave clothes and begin to walk into that victory which is yours. Is there sickness or disease on your body? Then let's break it tonight. Let's believe it when Christ said that he carried your sickness. The word said he became sin and sickness for you. He carried your sickness onto the cross. Let's believe it tonight. You got disease on your body? Christ carried that disease. You don't have to carry it. What is the need in your life tonight? Whatever it is, habit patterns, bondages, envying, anger, hard-heartedness, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever it is, Christ carried those sins on the cross. You're free of them. You don't have to carry them. You don't have to walk in them. That's the old. But the old's gone. The old's been broken and taken to the cross and buried, and it's finished. The enemy tricks you and says, no, you're just the same as you used to be. And you nod your head and say, yes, that's right. And the moment you say, yes, that's right, you agree with the word of Satan and you disagree with the word of God. But God says, if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things, the old bondages, the old fears, the old hatreds, old things have passed away. And all things have become new. Where do you stand tonight? Are you ready tonight to break out of a substandard Christian life? to break into some real victory in your life and begin to let the Spirit of God and the Word of God flow in your life so that you can walk out of this place tonight knowing you've stepped onto a new plane, stepping into a new experience, stepping out of the old, putting on the new, and walking in that newness of life. I wonder if we can have the pianist. We're going to sing tonight 345 for the overhead. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Spirit of the Lord is in you. There's liberty for you tonight. As we stand in a moment and sing, if you wish us to pray for you tonight, we'll join our faith to yours. Whatever your need might be, whatever your failure is, whatever your disappointment is, whatever that habit pattern is, we don't even want to know what it is. Tonight we will not ask you what your need is. Pastors and elders, as we pray tonight, we will not ask people what their need is. We're just going to lay hands on you. We're going to loose our faith with yours, that those grave clothes, whatever they might be, will be stripped from you tonight. That sickness, that disease, that habit pattern, that wrong attitude, whatever it is that's bugging you and keeping you into a substandard Christian walk tonight, we're going to break it off and walk out of this place as victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Okay.